not going to change anything around you. But God's vision in your life will affect everything. Respect and wider than you can understand. But if we only have visions for ourselves and our own families, that's only going to affect your little home or whatever. That's what it's going to do. And when God gives us a vision, it affects everybody. It helps everybody. There's no respect to a person. You know? God's got no... Listen, He favors His children. He's got no favoritism. I grew up in favoritism. Amen. But I'm thankful for what the Lord has done for me. Because He went to the bottom of the barrel. He's not. He took me out of the bottom. Took me out of the nightclub. Took me out of the bartending. Took me out of the beans. But when all of it stopped and I came here, I had to do this guy. I mean, I'm just going for you, you know? But He waited. I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to show you the scripture. But God came to me in my memorial emergency and asked me if I wanted to live. You know that testimony, right? I shared it with y'all. And I said yes. But let me tell you what. See, I didn't worship Jesus. I didn't call on Jesus because I really had no relationship with Him. I knew who He was. I knew He hung on the cross. But I had nothing to do with Him. But when all of it boiled down and I was in trouble and I'm spitting up blood, I called upon God, who I didn't know, because that's how they raised me. I knew God. If I was in trouble, call on God. So I called on God. And the Bible says that you can't come to the Lord Jesus unless it's through the Father. So God will show up every time. He's the one that loves us and comes to us. And yes, Jesus does. But we've got to acknowledge the Father. He's the Father. I'm a dad, but He's the Father. You know? I learned from Him to be a daddy. But He's still the Father. And I appreciate God for that. So I want to encourage you today. There's many prophecies going out. They're all linking up. In other words, as I listen to different ones, Kenneth Copeland, I listen to Jerry Seville, Jesse DePrentice, this guy called Kent Christmas, he's just powerhouse. But all of them connect the dots into the power of 2020. And I'll tell you something, we're in a new dimension. We're in a new decade, but we're in a whole new dimension. Everybody wants to climb levels. We're in a dimension. And we gotta let God help us. And that word is true. What we're going to study today and look at. I'm going to share with you. Say what God said. He already said it. I'm learning as I preach. I'm learning as I study. Because you see, we have our own verbiage. Yeah, we like to use our language and our slang. And I'm not criticizing. But God has other words that He said already. I'm going to show you in the Word. It's got more power than we gave credit. It's got more power in our lives than we could ever imagine. Patience is the key. Process is a must. And I'm still in process. I'm still under construction. I don't believe it's going to stop until I go home to Jesus. I believe this is the way it has to be so we can develop, but not just for us. We have to be willing to embrace those that come to the church. That's right. The Mohawks, the Tahawks, the long earrings, the metal. Amen. We're not the metal detector, the metal, you know, the people with the metal on. No, really. The church is a hospital. When I came to the Lord, it was my hospital, man. When I came to Lahaina on Prison Street, isn't that nice? Huh? That puts you right where you belong. Well, the pastor just came out of prison. That's even better. It was my second pastor. Why? Because then I realized that God is no respecter of persons. Once you submit, once you yield, and He's called you out, all you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is say yes. The team, you say yes. Because every now and then you go, no, 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 somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Well, I'm blessed you here today. We don't say what God said. That's what we're going to do. Is that good? That's how we're going to come into the Joshua Caleb ministry, which means going into the inheritance. This is what God has given us. He said, it's for all my children, but we need more children. Amen? We need more coming. Oh, you're not hearing me. See, we like to sit comfortable for 30, 40 years and praise the Lord and do nothing. God says, no, I'm bringing people. I'm bringing people that are not saved. I'm bringing people that don't know me or my son. I'm bringing people that need to understand what you're talking about. I need to bring people that I want to get saved. Because God loves everybody. And I always tell the leaders, but are we ready? Well, are we ready to embrace them? Are we ready? I need help. Because sometimes the old mentality want to stick around, you know, and shut this up. I always think of that game at the fun factor that Bernard likes to go once in a while. Where's the ball and the dog? You know the one you hit with a hammer? They keep popping up. That's how life. You pop ups. You know, the computer. You just pop up. The attitude pop up. Bad attitude pop up. I don't want to do this pop up. I'm going this way pop up. I'm going that way pop up. And you're going. And the, you know, some of them get away with you, right? Because they're up so fast with pop ups. We all got pop ups, by the way. Ain't none of us exempt. They might not be the same pop ups. But they'll pop up, amen? But never mind, before I just be on the computer, now it's on the phone too. Pop up. You know, and I want to thank God today for His Word. Amen. Go back in time a little bit. We're going to go to
to 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. Talk about a guy named Micah for just a little while. So we all know the big name prophets, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Woo! Man, they got going on, you know. And they went through some stuff, too. Don't even let me get into Ezekiel. That brother had to not even mourn the death of his wife. I mean, that's kind of intense. But we're not going there. We're going to Micah. And why? Because sometimes kings shouldn't be hanging around with other kings just because you're a king. Some Christians shouldn't be hanging around with those that seem like Christians just because you're a Christian. Now, there's a difference to me between a believer and a Christian. A believer believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, got on the cross, and he got resurrected. But a Christian, one that follows, believes in and follows Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is, right? You know, looking up, and I'm like, well, I better be a better follower. Well, I want to leave with the big old, you know, Indian, you know, fellas and stuff right here, you know. Hallelujah. Well, let me take you back to there was a king of Israel. His name was Ahab. And he was hooking up with Jehoshaphat. He said, hey, man, brother, come with me, let's go fight. Now, let me give you a clue, just a little bit. I'm just going back, but I'm going to read the scripture yet. But if this is going to give you the story. I was really encouraged because I'm listening to Ahab, king of Israel, talk to Jehoshaphat. And he tells Jehoshaphat, we're going to go to war. You coming with me? Oh, yeah, I'm with you, bro. I'm on it. I'm going to fight with you. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to do this thing. It's good. Because when we go into battle, yeah, I'm going to disguise myself. But you wear all your apparel. I'll be like, oh, no. Heck no. I'm going to show myself that I'm a leader and you're going to go in there disguised. Well, God don't work with disguise. He's creeping you out anyway. So it doesn't matter. So Jehoshaphat agreed. I know, right? I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, no, you wear a apparel. I don't have that apparel. But not all kings are supposed to hang around with kings. God has assigned certain people to do certain things. And you've got to do that thing God told you to do. So anyway, so they're coming in, and all these prophets come up, and oh, victorious, victorious, we win all the battles. Everybody like to hear that, right? Prophesy good things over my life, but let me talk in my chat. Go over here. Victorious, you're going to battle, everything's going to work good, everything's going to work good. Is there another prophet around? Yeah, let's bring him in. So he shows up, his name is Micah. And he's asked, what are you saying? And the first thing he said was, oh, victorious, victorious, you're going to be victorious. And you're going to win this battle, and you're going to fight and do everything, and you're going to get it. God's going to give it to you. He goes, I told you before, tell me only what the Lord says. And he goes, you're going to die. You're going to lose it. Here we have Micah, 2 Chronicles 18, 13. And this is what Micah says in response to all these things that are being said. He says, but Micah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell you only what God says. Father, we thank you this morning for the word. We thank you that that word says whatever God speaks, whatever he said, or he saith in the kingdom, it doesn't matter to the point of what it is already done. And God, we thank you for your word this morning, because you said it, and we're going to say it after you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for sending deliverance to God. When we say what God said, guess what? God always does what he says. That's what it says. So we know, and we have Monday night prayer meeting throughout, we know that we can pray amiss. Outside the will of God, outside the subject of what God wants. Thank you so much, everyone. And it says that God always completes what he says and always does it. So when we say what God says and we pray what God already said, we're going to get it. Jesus said it. That's what he said. And I know we all come short. You know, so don't really be like, I got it all together, because I don't. I just got it together with God. He's got it all together. If I'm going to follow anybody, I'm going to follow God. I got it all together. He's got it together. Genesis 1:3, y'all know this word. It says, it opens with, God said. I'm not going to preach the whole Genesis, I'm just saying, God said. 1:3, you know what it said? God said, let there be light. Guess what? There was light. There wasn't a hesitation. Didn't have to go turn on the switch. Didn't have to change the light bulb. He said, let there be light. There was light. When you say what God already said, now said is the past tense, say is the present place of being. Stay with me now. So whatever says what God does already had said is already evident. In other words, before God said it, he knew it was already done. Before he said it, this is faith in us that's got to activate. Before we even say it, we got to know it's done. Because God said it already, it's past tense. We're going to say it now, and it's already been said, so it's going to be done already before we say it.
I gotta change my verbiage. I gotta change my language. I gotta change the things I say. Oh, by the way, I told the leadership this morning, get off your gremlin stools and get on the hallelujah chair. Amen. Yeah. Get on that chair and give hallelujah to God. Amen. Yeah. Get off the grumbling. The stool is uncomfortable. You sit on the day, sit down. Amen. You grumble enough, you get numb. You get numb to the power of God and His goodness and His glory. We show a lack of appreciation. God never said there would be easy times. He said, I'm going to give you victorious times. He said, listen, you're going through some stuff, but I got better stuff for you at the end of that stuff. After the process is done, after everything is done, hey, listen, butter don't come easy, but it's good when you throw it out. It takes a while to go. It takes a little while. I was with the young people yesterday, blessed to be with them, and I told them, listen, you're bigger than your decisions. Sometimes we don't make the right decisions. Well, adults could say amen to that too, not just the younger ones. It's the truth. And so it's really important. Listen, which means, again, customs. When God says something, and it's already done because He knows it's done, and He said it, that's custom. All we have to do is trust in Him, believe it within us, and say it. But we have to say it with a belief in Him. Can't that. Don't shout doubt, shout power. God has a plan for us. Every child, every human being. In fact, I told my son when he asked me, is every person a child of God? I said, yes. But until you receive Jesus, you're not in the family. God adopted me. I'm no foster kid. I ain't no grandchild. I ain't no stepchild. God says He adopted us. Brought us in. But don't be bragging. We're going to cut off a little bit and put that on there. So we have to go through some stuff. You got to watch out. Oh, yeah, got rid of you. You put me in there. I was better than you. No. God is the best of the best. He did it because He received His Son and accepted that sacrifice. Amen. So it means, again, which means, in the definition, which means God already knows once He said it, it was already done before He said it. So when He said it, it was only to confirm what He had already done. I know that's a lot of work. So I have to write it down when I heard it. But you remember that. So it's really important. You must come to the place to trust God's word in the same way God already said it. Come together. You have to trust God in His word the same way that He said it. The same way He said it. And I'll tell you what, you might think, I don't know. Well, I see pregnancies where there were none. I see troubles that got through every day. And I took some time. I heard of miracles and seen miracles of families in here that went through terrible things, losing their children, and now beautiful children are in their life. I don't have an answer for that. Went through some stuff. He went through some stuff. He had to lose his children. He had to lose all his possessions. His possessions didn't mean that much. When you lose your children, oh man. And even his wife was so sad, and I don't blame her. She said, hey, keep your integrity. Curse God and die. No, stay with God. Keep your integrity. Holding on to one. He said, I don't know why I'm going through this. Oh, it's so hard for me, Lord. But I know that you're with me. I know that you see me. I know you see my sorrow. I know you see my tears. I know you see my pain. I know you feel my pain. But our faith has to go beyond our understanding. It has to be on God's word. So, as we continue, whew, I tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited every day I'm above ground. Okay, another opportunity, another door open. God says, you're going to live and you're going to prosper. You choose God, you choose the blessing. You got eternal life later, but meanwhile, back at the ranch, we got to do some work. Amen? This seems to be done. Ranch has a lot of work. Farm has a lot. Look at them and say farm. You know, that's hard too. I said ranch. Amen? No, just build farm. So we must come to that place to trust God's word in the same way God already said it. Moses had this same challenge when God called him up. In Exodus 4:12, he says, now then go, and I, even I, as Moses is telling, I ain't educated enough. So what do you think? God forgot He put you in Egypt and you were raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, became a general in the armies of Pharaoh, and all of a sudden 40 years of ministry, and you think, I forgot? That's why God had to burn a bush, it wouldn't burn. But this is what He told Moses. He said, now then go, and even I will be in your mouth. They didn't have the Bible to read, you know that, right? Moses was going to write it after it was done. He's in the process, but God said, I'm going to put my word in your mouth. This is what He says. Exodus 4:12. He says, I'm going to put my word in your mouth. Oops, hooked up.
and teach you what you are to say. Listen. In the New Testament, there's a scripture that says, on that hour, don't even meditate on what you're going to say. Holy Ghost is going to come on you and give you what to say. Put it right in you. Because it's already in you. We today are blessed. We have the Bible. Oh my gosh. We have the written word. We have more than we can imagine that they have. Now the New Testament has the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. Because they were going to have to write it. So they had to live through some stuff based on the Old Testament and the fulfillment of Christ's coming. And now he's with them. And they were still pulling some shenanigans. Oh, y'all can pull shenanigans off that. Get off your grumbling stool. Get in the hallelujah chair. That's your rumble. That the stool don't go nowhere. It just gives you numb. Legs get numb. Hang your legs, you know. And you sit higher because you feel better, but not too long. The chair keeps you stable. Some chairs good. You can, you know, walk and down with the lever. You can go all the way back, you know. Woo, get that feeling, you know. The stool is just there. Grumblers are just there. Listen, I learned not to grumble. I tell myself, don't grumble. Don't complain. And I talked to some of the associate pastors. How's your day, my pastor? Nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about. Why? Because I know God's still large and also in charge. So if I yield to him, I trust him, and I give my life, which I did already, then he's going to see me through. If it's hard, you don't grumble. If it's easy, you don't grumble, but you do praise. There's no bad day on this earth. There's hard days, and there's good days, but there's never an easy day. But it's a great life. Because I know somebody that loves me unconditionally, but Pastor Bobby said, no matter what, he's going to love us. But David said, you got to choose where you want to be. He's going to love you where we should be, or he's going to love you where you shouldn't be. No matter what, he's going to love us. Amen. That's the word. Sometimes people don't like the word. They want the word you want to tell them. Tell me something nice. That's what they call. That's what they're all the prophets. In fact, if you read very carefully, God was the one that said, who can I send into the mouth of these prophets? Or the prophets. To be able to tell him. Because I have his death in life. This was Ahab of the things he had done. You can't be a leader for God and think you're going to get away with things. You can't. This time, I heard this, and it was said by Ken Christmas. He said, God is coming to drain the swamp in the church. Yeah, you know what I said? Help you, Jesus. Make sure, line it up. And I'm just saying what he prophesied, but it's the truth. 1 Peter 4:17. What it says. He's coming to look at his house. He has to look at us. We cannot look out of the windows of the church and go, good for you. That's what you get. Want to serve God? Want to receive Jesus? Good. Snap on God. Wait for me. Because I'm going to slap you silly if you don't stop acting up for me. Because he has to look at us first. We're still here. With Jesus in our heart. We love. We love others. Amen. I trust God. And I love everyone. I might not like a lot of people. A lot of them don't like me. But we have to love everybody. It's unconditional. There's no borderline on that. Amen. So in Exodus 4:12, that's what happened to Moses. Moses did not have the written word. He wrote the first book. So therefore, in the process of that, God put words in his mouth. He might be in his pockets. I like when God put words in your mouth. Because if that word is in your mouth, it's going to come out of your mouth. And you won't get what God said. What are you speaking? When you first hear news that is not what you want to hear, what do you first say? Do you repeat the bad news? That's the wrong thing to do. You should say what God said. All things work together for you. That's what God said. Good. Push the letter. Oh, you're not reading. That's okay. Amen. You can go on the caboose. It's coming up. So we put all this to the test. How do we do it? By just trusting God. We're not going to test God. We're going to put it to the test. By trusting God. We're not going to test God. We're going to say, well, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to believe that everything you say has already been said. It's already been done. So if you say that I'm alive, I'm alive. If you say I'm anointed, I'm anointed. If you say I can do it, I can do it. I'll put my faith and my trust in you. Not that I believe in you. Today we have written word. Isn't that great? We have the written word. We can go to scripture. We can quote it. You can read it every day. Amen. And not do nothing about it. Well, I got a devotional life. Well, is it devoted to God? Or is it just devoted to check the box, check the box, check the box? Woo! I'm out of here. Especially for you. Well, mom and dad, I did my verses. I did my chapter. Did you get anything out of it? Because God wants to give you sometimes just one scripture. And you go, wow. Woo. I don't care how long I've been serving God. When I read the word, other things jump out. I go, wow, thank you, God, for that word today. I need you, God, to help me. So that today we have the written word. Yet, if we are not speaking it, we are just reading it. Thank you, Pastor. We're just, we can get that. I'm not saying it's not good to read the word, but I said, you're not speaking the word, and you're just reading it. You're not getting the results you should. So we got to read and speak that word. It's a good day. Bless the Lord for this day. I'm going to be victorious in it. If I don't know what I'm going to be facing, but God knows what I'm going to be facing. I thank God. Look, Benaiah, I like it. He's in debt. Did you pay the mortgage yet? I said, no. He said, God's going to pay the mortgage. I said, I come in agreement with you. Speak the word. Now, we got to do our part, but speak the word. Now, oh, no, what are we going to do? No, listen, this is what we do. What happened when we lose the house? What happened when the top breaks? What happened when insurance? What happened when I got to go to the doctor? All the wrong things to say. And the devil's going, yep, check the box, check the box, check the box, check the box. We got to go, no. Lord, I'm going through some rough times right now. It's hard for me. But I believe in you. I believe in what you said. I believe you're going to do this. I believe you can do it. Amen. So I got more. So in the New Testament, they only had the Old Testament to go by. Jesus taught many, but many didn't stick around. So in the church, many aren't going to stick around. So don't be overwhelmed by, oh, how come they're gone? How come they're not in the church anymore? They choose not to be. My prayer is always that they find another place of fellowship. That they stay in the Word. You know, stay close to the fellowship of God. But that's not my part. My part is to make sure that when you're here, I give you everything God gave me, and I'm responsible for what I said. I'm responsible for every word I speak out of my mouth. That's like scary. I'm not saying but you know, I got to be responsible for that stuff. You can't just go around talking trash and that's all right. No, I'm not responsible. That's the world. That's when I used to set my own rules. I mean, every day was a new rule. You know what I mean? And today, I feel like these are the rules today. You know, I like it. Even if it was just me. Me, myself, and I. Following me nowhere. I know that's not your life, but praise the Lord. So we're speaking it. We need to speak that word. It says in John 12:49, Jesus said, the Father himself gave me what to say and what to speak. Isn't that amazing? Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, Jehovah, said, I don't say nothing except what God, my Father himself, gave me to say, and what to speak. In other words, what to speak. King James, my favorite Bible, but we don't always go with, you know, be and thou and speak it and go with, you know. And when I first started studying, I'm like, whoa, it's hard, what? It's hard. But we don't change the message, but we don't change, come on, somebody help me. We don't change the message, but we can change the message. In other words, God doesn't mind us advancing to his kingdom. Well, we can't compromise the word. We can't change what he already said. Because then we change our outcome. Because we're saying what we want to say. And then once we say it, it's been said. And we got to deal with that. The enemy's checking about. He wants to destroy us. In John 6:65, he says this. Jesus said, no one can come to me, and this is why I said this, unless the Father has sent him. So I know that everybody that met Jesus has to have engaged the Father. One way or the other. Because that's what he said. Nobody can come to me unless the Father has sent him. If God won't send, he sent to you. Amen. A lot of guys, we don't want to be sent. We want to go that way. So Jesus said this after Jesus is teaching those with him. Verse 66 clarifies, it says, from that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. That made a sense. Amen. Another translation says, deserted him. Another translation, you know, English translations, walk without him anymore. And then stop following, because that's easy. Wouldn't go with him. These are all English translations. Associated with him no more. Accompanied him not. I like this one. This is the last one I read. This is God's Word translation. Back to the lives they led before. That clarified for me exactly what he was saying. that helped me go, whoa, I understand what you're saying fully now. We're not just saying they just didn't, you know, they didn't like take that knowledge and go someplace else and preach it. They didn't go someplace else, I want to change and make a new church. They said, no, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to the things I used to do. I'm going back to the, because this just don't make no sense to me. I don't see no profit in it. Well, let me tell you what, God has two kinds of profit. Amen. You won't spell different. But the powerful things that God has given us and shared with us and helped us through. When we come to the place of God's Word, we love God and we understand God. You know, this is God, we're running to the New Testament. And we understand all these things. John in 4, chapter 4, verses 49 to 53. I'm just going to read it all. I'm just going to kind of share it with you a little bit. You remember Jesus was standing there, an official came, and he said, hey, my son is dying. Could be dead already. I need to help. And what did Jesus do? The official son was healed when Jesus spoke the word. He said, go back. Already done. And you read the verses. If you read the verses, it says, when he went back, there was someone on the way to him to tell him that the fever was broken, his son was healed. And you realize, if you read another scripture, it says, and in that time, he knew at the exact moment that his son was healed is when Jesus spoke the word to him in a different place, in a different hour, in the same hour that his son was healed. No, it was different hour, meaning that he had to travel to the guy that was coming. But he realized it was when Jesus spoke the word to him in that time that his son was healed over there in the same time. I don't know about you. That's a big old praise the Lord. That's Jesus doing this. That's Jesus doing this. And he's doing it because his Father already said it. And he's repeating, isn't what the Word said? He's repeating what the Father said to him. I don't say nothing, he said, unless the Father put it right in my mind. This is the Son of God. It wasn't on his own agenda. It wasn't Jesus, a.k.a. Rambo. Well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm the Son of God. Get out of here. He carried that cross. This year, we're not to sometimes carry that cross. It's a little heavy, but don't chip it down. We heard the story before. Don't chip it down. Because when you come to the cross and you can't cross, you go, because it's too small. Keep the cross the size that God gave it to you. We all have to carry our load. Remember the guy that put his hand to the plow? Oxen is pulling, pushing, pulling and pushing. They push themselves. Oxen is the only one that feeds while they're working. Did you know that? They don't feed mules, they don't feed horses. They put that bag right there. The oxen don't stop. As long as you feed him, he moves. Isn't that amazing? God feeds us every day, but sometimes you stop moving. We gotta move the same way that oxen move. He's eating and he's plowing. And the guy holding the plow ain't going, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. He's throwing seed this way, not like this. He's throwing seed in the straight mark. And he's plowing with his hand on that plow. If he takes his eyes off, and the seed not make that ground and not be able to bring the harvest. God knows what he's doing. Keep your eyes on what God took him. That's where your victory is. That's where your victory is. That's where my victory is. So he did this. He did this for that gentleman. Amen. That official, they wanted to make sure you knew it wasn't official. And that's in chapter 4 of John, 49 to 53. The power of God was from the beginning as it is now. Was then is now. In his words, John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. Right? You all know the scripture, right? And the Word was with God. This is why stop doing stuff for him and do it with him. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this for God. I remember saying that as a young preacher. I'm going to do this for God. And God's like, oh, you don't do that without me. You don't got the strength without me. So God says, with him. So it says in the Word, in the beginning was the Word. So the Word was evident in the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So all of it compounded together. This is what the New Living Translation says. And God's Word Translation says the same thing. In the beginning, the Word already existed. That's what it says. In that manner, the Word was, and he is with him. So it says in those two translations, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Isn't that what it says? In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is the manifestation. He's the fulfillment. Amen? He's not the reincarnation. We don't come back as cockroaches. I mean, some believe that. Some of us might come back as nasty things. Just because we've got a bad attitude and that's stupid. You know? He's the incarnation. The power of heaven.
He was and is and always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the relationship. I'm thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Aramaic Bible says this. In the origin of the Word, it had already been existing. Same as the New Living Translation and God's Word Translation. So even the oldest part of where you have Aramaic Bible, which I don't really read the Aramaic Bible, but I read some of its translations. Isn't that amazing? So all God is saying is that I was before it ever was to begin. In other words, my Word was already there. And all we got to do is say what He said. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the existing factor. I don't know about you. It's not a long message. Look, bam, it's an easy message. My son is my greatest supporter, besides my wife, of course. But the reason is that we, thank you, people, God. We believe what God says, but it's a process, don't you agree? What process for me? The process is if you keep on thinking like you think, then you're going to get the results of what you think. It's simple. I know it's not simple to do, but it's simple to think that way. It's easy. It's a natural form of life. We've got a spirit in us that's greater than our natural form of life. Jesus is great, but the Holy Spirit in us has the power to give us the guidance. Jesus said it is beneficial. It is expedient that I know that the Holy Spirit comes. We need help on the way. He says, I don't need leave you abandoned out there. I don't need you by yourself trying to figure it out. I'm going to give you the person that's going to show you the road now, that show you the way to go, so that you can do the right thing in the right way, so that you get the inheritance that God has for you. And work together. Stop fighting with the church. I don't have that thing. I don't have that thing. I don't like that music. I don't like that. They don't have to the child. Don't do that. I don't like this. I don't like that. God's like, what? You know, I am blessed that He just don't throw rocks on us like He did to those guys and stop the day with God. I'm just so blessed. You know, hailstones down there. He said, the Lord died that day than by the sword. Amen. Let's not like be like Samson. Play around. Pretty soon, can't see spiritually anymore. It's getting spiritual, of course. He got blinded, amen. But in the end, he knew he said, put me on those pillars. One more time. Come on, Lord. We can do one more round. I know I messed up. I know I did these things. I know I shouldn't have gone that way. But let's go one more time. Put me between those pillars, God. And I will do. And let me go with them. Because I know this is my time. And more died that day. Like 2000. Died that day than ever. It was all 20 years ago. He messed up a lot of times. Lust will mess you up. No, it'll mess you up because that's what it was. I was just reading Benaiah's in that part of Judges and his devotion in the mornings. I learned from my son's devotion also, as well as my own. I read the book of Psalms and you're like, oh, my son, yeah. You get the joke, you're like, you know. But his was in Judges and it was about Delilah, it was about that process that he was going through. But how she kept on thinking, like, oh, you don't love me. You don't love me because you should stop going to church. If you love me, you're not going to church because I want to be with you on Sunday. I want to do the rest of the week, won't it? But I need you on this day, you know. I want you to a prayer meeting. If you love me, tell me your secret. What's your secret? Jesus. Ben was just here. But he was kept on being pressed until he gave in. He gave in to the lust of his flesh. He gave in because he wanted someone that he shouldn't have. I'm not saying anything about anybody. I'm just saying this was his story. But he still said, God, I know I messed up. And one more time. A real good coach, when he has a boxer, even though he knows his boxer is beat up and went through stuff, he said, man, I'm good. And my arms are rubber. I can't feel my arms. But the coach, if you ever watch him looking at him, he's looking at the opponent. He's looking at that other guy. Because he wants to know, what's the condition of that guy? Well, I'll tell you what, that other guy is Satan in that other corner. I'm going to tell you right now, you're getting tired. Because God is wearing him out. No, you're not wearing him out. Yeah, the coach is the Holy Spirit. He's like, come on, one more round. Get out of the hatred in the tower. I'm going to hit you with the tower. I'm going to hit you. Hatred at the tower. And one more round. I'm going to hit you too at the tower. One more round. Go one more. One more round. That's the Holy Spirit saying. Get in there one more round. Because why? He tells the fighter very slowly and very calmly. He's trying to put everything you got and what you got. And then he says, and I watched enough to know this, he says, and do what I shouldn't do. And he steps back. Pull that stool out. And when you get up, your arms are feeling like this, but you don't do that. You put them up. You don't go to the enemy and go, Gumby. You say, oh, look, Gumby's going to come again. Or some of you know what Gumby is, some of you know. That's what it's called. Way back in the day. Gumby. But, you know, I know some of you know what Gumby is. If you don't, just look it up on Google. It'll show you. But Gumby, we don't want to be Gumby, amen, in the presence of the enemy. You've got to be strong in the presence of the enemy. Now, Pastor Sikam, never let the enemy see you sweat. Pastor Jerry, my first pastor, always said, never back down on the devil. Never back down. Because he will use that against you. He will come against you and burden you with that. Just stand, even though it hurts, even though sometimes you feel alone and nobody's with you. Things ain't happening the way they should. Amen? No gumbies in our church. Gumbies are tired, that's why we don't sell it anymore. No more gumbies. We have the greatest person that lives in us. The He-Man of all men. Amen? Jesus Christ. Right in there. Right in the power of your heart. And that gives us hope. That gives us strength. So, in closing, I wanted to share with you, this year is a new dimension. You don't need 3D glasses. You've already been prepared, equipped, and ready. Whatever you've been through brought you here. That's as easy as it is. And being here, not just here in this place, being here where you are, in your section of life right now, the season that God has brought you in. Hold firm. Don't give up now. Don't let the Delilahs in your life convince you to stop doing what God has called you to do. Don't let the Delilahs in your life whisper in your ear and say, you know you ain't getting nothing. You know nobody loves you. Nobody hugs you. Since you ain't hugging nobody. Let me tell you, if you come to church when worship starts, you don't want to hug nobody. Because the greeters on Daniel, the greeters, they're waiting for Daniel. Come to God. And give you a hug. Love you. Well, really, you know, people get on, and they come in after worship, hallelujah. Then they slip out to the back until the end of the service. They don't talk to the father. Then they say, that church is not family. They don't talk to us. They don't want to, hey, man, I'll hug anybody bumping to me, amen? No, I mean, seriously. I believe that God wants us to love everybody. You don't got to agree with everybody. You don't got to agree with their lifestyle if they're living in sin, but you should hug them. And when they're jumping on me, you should be Holy Ghost filled already. You don't got to worry about that stuff. When I was a kid, I used to watch all those old movies, you know, the Dracula movies, the vampires, you know, they got Frankenstein, the mummy. We got mummies in the church. We got Frankenstein's too. You know, just the music song like that. Anyways. And sometimes we have Dracula's too. You know, the second thing out of here. Let's see what I can get. I always used to say this, and it's kind of stupid, but I used to say, you know, Dracula couldn't go in your house unless you invited him. So evil ain't coming in. Scripture says, knocking on the door. Knocking on the door. It says you need to learn to rule over it. That's what it says. So yeah, it's knocking, but it can't come in. I hear you knocking about you. You should see that outside of that door. I know who you are. They ain't puffed the magic dragon. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you knocking, 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 knocking. But you can't come in. You can piece all you want out that door. Don't let it in. Don't let it in. People will come to you and try to bring it to you. Don't let it in. Don't let curiosity open the door just a little bit. That little sneak, you know, the vampire turned into smoke, you come right in there. You know, it sounds stupid, but anyways. Some of my older mind being. But I used to watch all those old movies, and we used to watch a show, and only people in my age bracket would know it. It was called The Weird Beard Show. They had a black and white TV, that's how far back I went. And we used to sit there, little kids, I'm interested. Our parents used to let us watch it on Friday night. We used to sit there like, but we're watching it, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And I had all the models, I made them, I made them. All in my room. Like, that didn't invite some bed, huh? And I had nightmares, my mom was like, let's go back to bed. Nobody prayed for you in my day. Yeah, they did it. They said, go back to bed. Just shut up. And then one time I told my mom, somebody's holding me down to you. Swear at it. Swear at it? I'm not going to help you. I've got something you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, what? And one night I remember
I was mom, I'm a teenager, you know. And I thought, I'd do something good, you know, but I was doing a good thing, you know, like a teenager. I started sweeping the floor. Don't sweep at night! No, 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 that one, huh? Don't sweep at the feet toward the door, you can bite the bucket. When I became a Christian, I was helping Jesus, all that stuff I learned, and the things that were great, but it didn't help anything, and it's not real. You're not supposed to even cut your hair at night. All these songs will be shut down. I go, I don't know. It's not real. It's just these things that people make up. As time goes on, and they pass it on, they pass it on for generations, and you become stupider and stupider until you become the stupidest. And it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. So what I'm here to share, even in all that, that God really loves us. And all that stuff, and all that. And listen, I know, because even though, and we got to be ready in this house, as well as any other house of God, because we're the body as a whole, this is the sanctuary. And homosexuals come, we embrace them, we love them, we care for them. Oh, you're not with me. We've had a guy that was, I used to hug him over here. I love him. And we had no animals. You gotta love, listen, you don't love the city, you love the person. I'm not the judge. I ain't gonna take that place either, because that's a heavy load, and that's gonna come back on me. That's still gonna tip. I'm sure about that. All those unequal balances we got in our pocket, pouring it out, telling God, good idea, good idea, good idea. God said, you've done nothing. I did it all. But I used to have such a good time with him, because I see him up in my youth, you know, if you're watching, I love you. And I used to see him up in my youth, and he'd be walking, you know, he's dressed as a female, and he's like, but I drive by and go, hey, brother, he's like, stop it, pastor, stop it. Because that's what he believes, but no, I know he's a brother. And you don't want to help me, I go, I love you, brother. I kiss him on the cheek, I ain't afraid. You can't be afraid of that. You gotta show love where love is needed. Love, God's love gotta be greater than the love they think they need and is inappropriately applied. It's gotta be greater than that thing that they believe from the enemy's voices and his words. Woo! I'm excited today, but I'll tell you what. I'm ready to see God deliver some stuff. I'm just so excited. I'm blessed. I can sit down and pray for nobody. Whoa, God, do it. Wow, yeah. When they walk into a place of worship and they just get healed. Isn't that great? That's what we prophesied. I want this old theater. God didn't give us this place for 20 years so that we just sit around doing nothing. Yeah, it's an old theater. Yeah, it's got some leaky tops. Yeah, we kind of got to work around it. But you know what? Ever since this year started, I started thanking God. I know this building is just about 50 years old. And when you get old, sometimes you do. I mean, get that later. But it happens in our life that things don't always work. My brother said, oh, you have to say that. But God is good. He's good. Listen up. Listen. He don't plug the leak. He heals the leak. He fixes it. That's what happens. But we got to say what God said. We bless you for this word. We thank you for Micah and that time frame. And he just said, I can't say nothing unless God tell me what God said already. So if we start to speak that, our young ladies, our young men, our older men, our warriors, we need to start speaking what God already said. Why not put you to yourself? You got to do this. I want the results of what God already said. Jesus said, by my stripes, you are healed. He said in the book of Psalm, he said, I sent my word and delivered us from our destruction. Healed us and delivered us from our destruction. And I said, well, anything's going to be destroyed. Well, the things in this world today, it can destroy you. You know, when I was young and I got the mumps, they just let me live it through. There was no excitement about it. Like, you got the mumps. Got the chicken pox all broken out. Right after that, I got the measles. I was on the Big Island. They left me in a room with your brother because he's going to get it too. And they come and take care of us, they put the calamine lotion on, we look like white ghosts. Because they just want us to stretch. But the fever, they gave us water, they put us in ice packs, and they put us in a cold shower, they don't care. But that's staying there for a little while. People went down, come on. Because it was different. Now today, these strains are harder, but it's like it's almost a generation after generation got weaker. The resistance in ourselves. And I tell you, only by God can we build this within ourselves. He can rejuvenate our immune system. Bring us to the place we need to be. So we don't have to believe all the pharmacists. And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say, I'm a nice drug dealer. Okay? So, I know about pharmaceuticals, because they're drug dealers too. They're just legal, and they're approved by the FDA. Yeah, I don't approve of them. Just letting you know. This is the truth. I'm not criticizing anybody, but that's off the chart. So God wants to heal. And he wants to do it without any drug deals. Sorry, out of confession. If Jesus showed up at the graveyard, the morticians wouldn't have any job. Because in the hospital, they shut down. Because all you gotta do is walk in there. That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm Jesus. I'm him. That's right. Because he's a powerful anointing to heal and to love and to change things. You have that in you. You have that in you. You have that in you. Jesus in you is greater than anything outside of us. Greater than anything. And I know you've heard it before. I know you've heard Jesus coming soon. Jesus coming. From what I'm hearing, he's getting close to getting on his way already. I don't know about you, but that horse is like, come on, come on, come on. Revelation, it speaks of 24 chairs in front of God. One more. They cry out, when? When shall we be justified? When shall we come to the justice of what happened to us? Now that's a lot of chairs. That's a lot of people crying out. Because God has done great and mighty things. But I'll tell you what, God is patient. He's waiting on us. Today we see. Say what God said. All I'm saying is not say what I said. Say what God said. And you shall have the outcome that God already said before he said it, knowing it was done. Say it like that. I know that what God said, I'm going to say it. And it's done already before I see it. Faith is the substance of faith. Hope and the evidence of faith. Not seen, not yet seen. One translation of faith. I like that one for evidence. It's already there.
Yeah.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. I know, stupid. That is real. God is that good. Father, we thank you this morning. Bless you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit for us. Every day, baptizing us afresh. We welcome you. You're already here. We welcome you to take control of this service as we pray in closing. Bless you, everyone watching. Those in the house. We thank you, God. We bless you. We thank you for years of patience with us. Thank you for helping us and directing our path. We bless you for the anointing that you pour upon each and every person. We pray for healing in those that need a touch. But let me tell you what. God already wants you healed. He wants our loved ones healed. Go home with what God said. And even if you know only one or two scriptures, there are so many. But one or two scriptures, and one of them is Jesus himself. By his stripes, Old and New Testament. By his stripes, we are healed. Now you walk in that healing. You walk in that healing. And I was driving truck to the garden. I was a milkman. I was driving, and the Lord showed me that he healed me of something I didn't know I had, which was a disease that my biological dad had that I never met, and my older brother who passed away. And he healed me of that. It was some kind of blood disease or something in their blood. And he gave me that when I was driving to the death. He healed me. He healed me. I didn't know that that would be like a hereditary thing, possibly, whatever it is, but he healed me before I knew I had it. But I had it, but he's not hearing me. But see, he said he healed me, so that means I had it in me. And he took it out of me before I knew I had it. Because my dad had it, something was wrong. My brother had it. Because that's what I was told. But what God said was more important to me. That he healed me of what they had. That's how good God is. He'll heal you of stuff you don't even know. He'll deliver you. But then you should remember and thank him. And for all week, I just need to remember of all the good things he had. And you have the same testimony. He's helped you out of a lot of jams. He's helped you out of a lot of places. I know he has. I don't have to know it all, but I know he did. Brought you here today. All you got to do is testify. Start with God and say, thank you, God, for doing all you've done. Thank you for bringing me this far. I might be young, but I know I've been through some stuff. I'm not alone. I don't have to do anything other than what you say. And once you said it, I say it, and it's done for me. God's got everything for you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Polish them bones. Everything in your skeleton closet, hang it up to dry. You say, Lord, here it is. It's polished up, and I'm telling you what. Get off the grumbling stool. Get off that grumbling stool. Get on the chair of hallelujah and give him some praise. Our pastor always used to say, Pastor Hofheim, he used to always say, and I thought it was kind of crazy, he used to say, sometimes praise the Lord, hallelujah. And later on, I went, oh, didn't that say that? Well, there was no option. Sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes hallelujah. And I'm like, what's he talking about? But he meant there's no option. Sometimes I praise the Lord, and sometimes it's hallelujah, but it's always praise the Lord. This morning, let's just give him some praise. You got to pray. Father, we thank you for giving some praise out there. Father, we just thank you and bless you. No greater gift than through Jesus Christ and receiving him into our heart and being the Lord of our life. doesn't take rocket science, doesn't take this long, rehearsed prayer. It's really simple. If you're watching and you got it, if you're in the house of God, Jesus, you said. But if you haven't asked him, I want to pray with you just very quickly for an unrehearsed prayer. And you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and be the Lord of my life. Raise your hands out there. God can see you. Fill me right now. Forgive me my sins. Thank you, Father, for sending your son to die for me. I receive you this day, and I know that I'll never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Need some prayer, give us a call. If you're in another location, we can help you find a Bible preaching, Holy Ghost filled church so that you can get some fellowship. And you need that personal fellowship. You need that connection. I'm blessed you're watching. And if you're in this community and you don't have a church, come and visit us. We'd be happy to have you. If God touches you, we have 20 outreaches that we give, the missions work. If God touches you to give an offering, just go to the screen. It'll show you a little dot to press. If you can go to wordoftruthmaui.org, and God will set you up. God bless you. God's peace upon you, and we love you. We love you in this house, too, and release the ushers.
Great and mighty things that we're doing. Amen for the Lord. Hallelujah. God is that good. Everybody's got a story, but God gets the glory. Everybody got a story. And then we got some storytellers, too. Yeah, well, that happens. But God is that good.